This first reading, this prophecy of Jeremiah, it's in chapter 31, toward the end. The ordering of the chapters is the editor's work. It's not Jeremiah's work. But Jeremiah must have been promised praying, Lord, yes, bring us back from exile. You know, we're humiliated. We can't practice the whole of the faith you gave us. You know, bring us back. But I don't see how when we get back there, we're going to do any better than we did before. You know, and that's when the Lord gave him this prophecy. I'm going to see to it that you do better than you did before. You see, days are coming, says the Lord. That's how the Lord starts to tell us his plans, right? I'll make a new covenant. Berit Hadasha, a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Jacob. There's still two houses, Israel and Jacob. By the end of the prophecy, there's only one. But it will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, and I had to show them myself as their master, says the Lord. That's why you're up here in Babylon. I gave you a covenant. I outlined to you how you could respond to all that I did for you. And we know, thanks to good historical study, that the law mind of that frames the covenant comes from a type of covenant known as the Hittite suzerainty treaty. You can get to heaven without knowing that. But it's a type of covenant that the king makes with a vassal king. And the foundation for the covenant is gratitude. I did this, 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 this. I think I've given you the names before. There's one that always sticks in my mind. It's the covenant between Shupilulilumas and Dupitasup. First and second base for the Yankees. So here's these two, you see. Shupilulilumas is the big shot king. And he says, Dupitesub, I did this and this and this and this and this for you. When your brothers tried to steal the throne from you, I got rid of them. When so-and-so invaded you, I sent you part of my army to protect you. So now, this is what you do in response. If any of my slaves escape, you send them back, and so forth, all the things that he's supposed to do. But the motive is gratitude. I did this and this and this and this for you, therefore. Now how does the covenant start? I am Adonai, your God, his name and his title, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. That's his work. Now, because I did that for you, you shall have no other gods beside you. And you go through the ten. You see, so the foundation for the keeping the covenant is gratitude. Well, they broke it. And so this is why Jeremiah is saying, you know, Lord, we've got to go back. I mean, we're being humiliated. We can't bring up our children correctly. People are forgetting your law. We're losing our identity. That's why the Pharisees began. Huh? Paras, separate. We have to make the law a whole culture to preserve our identity. Great insight, right? John Paul II says, faith which does not become a culture is not a faith which has been clearly perceived, completely embraced, or thoroughly thought through. If faith must become culture. It's got to be a way of life. Well, that's tough when we have this church separation of church and state. It's not tough at all. Separation of church and state, certainly as Jefferson and those people, was what? That the state would not impose itself on the church. That's what it's all about. Not that the church will sneak in and take over the state. Nobody thought of that. So, anyway, so he's pondering this. I'm imagining this, but I think it's true. And then the Lord said, look, Yamim Habim, days are coming when I will make a new covenant, not like the old covenant. that I took them by the hand, led them forth, for they broke my covenant. This is the new covenant. I will put it right into their hearts. The principle of responding to me will be mine. Now they can keep the covenant, because the principle of responding is me, mine. I will put my law within them. I will write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And that's the covenant terminology, right? In the Song of Songs, it turns out to be, my beloved to me and I to him, which is, I will be their God, and you shall, and they will be my people. Okay? So, how is he going to do that? How many times in the Old Testament does the Lord promise, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit. My spirit will dwell in you. And my spirit will be the principle of response to me. In you, I will respond to myself. Which is what baptism is. Being baptized in water is to dispose us to receive the rest of it, which is baptism in the Spirit. Which is possessing a conscious ability to respond to God. Experiential faith. So do you see how beautiful this, how precious this text is? It's one, and then that block there is the longest quote from the Old Testament in the New Testament. It's in the letter to the Hebrews. So the gospel, which we're not going to have time to touch on, you see, is a whole different thing. We have once again this rhythm. Jesus predicts his passion, and they don't have a clue. Every time he predicts his passion, the gospel writers, particularly Mark, but all of them, the gospel writers, right after that, have the totally inadequate response of the disciples. They're fighting over who's going to be first. This time, Peter's just shocked. This is not fitting for you, Jesus, to talk like that. What does Jesus say? Get out of my way, Satan. This is the guy he just made Pope. So, you see, we're God's people. And we have a great banner to carry. But God knows that unless he lives in us and works in us and strives in us and moves back to himself in us by the Holy Spirit, we'll never do it. We're too dumb, we're too frightened, we're too lazy. We need the gift. And that's what this text is all about, this other text. And so here, you see, God forbid, Lord, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because you're not thinking like God does. My Father. This is my Father's plan, that I come and die on the cross. That's the plan, fella. And I'm calling you to follow me. So then you start to say, maybe Peter's getting a glimpse of this and he's saying, far be it from you, Lord. And what he's really saying is, far be it from me. So we have some beautiful texts today to meditate on. Huh? So when we receive communion today was when we bind ourselves to that act of love in which he died, right? Say, Lord, I'm scared to death, but I sign on. I want to imitate you.